Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with lots in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. We spent Monday's episode with a murder of hit people trying to murder in Smoking Aces, which means today, all aboard, it's time to head to Tokyo for a train journey that, despite being chock full of assassins, is still preferable to most UK rail services and definitely cheaper. From 2022, let's get on the bullet train politics.
Hi, there's a gun on.
It's the quiet car. Gotta use your small inside voice in here, son.
There's a gun.
Talk to me.
I am ready. You are getting the new and improved me.
So, which film in this week's Assassins Assemble Clash will be victorious? We'll have a winner at the end of the show, so let's get it on. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
The Kraken.
Hello, Clash Potters. Have the courage to listen. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
And it is still just the two of us. For the final time, Chris is back next week, but right now is still in his spiritual home of Austin. He might not be having as good a time as he was have last week.
Because you're there.
I've gone to ruin his fun. But fear not, Tilly Tykes. Like I said, your high priest will return next week. So, like I said, welcome to part two of Smoking Aces versus Bullet Train. As you well know, at the end of the show, we have the verdict where we will declare which is definitively the better film. Let's get into this. No review today. No review. After I read a bad one last week. Which
is taken four stars. It's not bad.
It's still four stars.
Don't focus on the negative there.
Okay. Thanks.
You always do that.
Woosa. Woosa. So on Monday, V was saying casino no no to Smoking Aces, which means today I'm going off the rails with Bullet Train. Oh, let me take you on a journey. Ladybug is apparently plagued by bad luck. He won't stop banging on about it. Confusing, then, that he repeatedly is the recipient of good luck, like when the knife bounces off a briefcase into the wolf's chest, or the hornet's syringe goes into his arm but fails to inject him, or in a struggle, a gun goes off, killing Tangerine but missing him. But does that change his outlook? No. He just keeps mumbling about his bad luck and some mindfulness crap he's memorised. He'd be the worst person to be stuck on a train with. So pity the poor assassins who find themselves trapped on that train. Perhaps realising that the lead in this film is at best not very interesting and at worst an insufferable bore, the filmmakers desperately added a scene in the edit charting the day of a water bottle. That's right, the real hero of this film is a plastic bottle of Fiji water. The end. Clash Brothers, for your consideration, Bullet Train, a film literally sponsored by Fiji Water.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, what am I, grandma? Of course it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be any water bottle.
No.
It's Fiji.
Oh, okay.
Very nice water.
Really?
I've been in rooms where people in the public eye have specifically asked for Fiji water.
Really?
It is. If you're trying to impress your stars in a movie, it's Fiji water that is on the table. In This is in LA. I don't know if you get it here. Do you get it here?
I've never seen it.
No, but in LA, Fiji water is there.
Really?
The chef's kiss.
The chef's kiss of fucking tap water.
Well, that was Dasani, Danassi, with a Coca-Cola one. It's a Coca-Cola water that they sell in bottles, but it's just regular water.
Of course.
It's not actually mineral water.
No, it's just spring water is tap water, isn't it?
Yeah, it can't be sold here because it contains something that the UK Health Board believe is carcinogenic.
Cool.
Enjoy that, America. Bloody hell. So, histories with this movie, V.
This is my first watch. I was tempted, like, I wanted to watch this. Like, I wanted to watch Smoking Aces. I thought it would be kind of mind-numbingly pleasant, basically. So, yeah, and I was right.
Shall we say this now? I mean, I'm going to keep the jeopardy going. Just so surprised that both these movies, on paper, you know me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a shimble man. With shimble tape.
You like shit like this?
I love shit like this.
You love it?
Both of these, the premise of both of these movies is like, oh, this is going to be one hell of a double bill. I walked away confused by both these movies in the sense that you have to work hard to make me not like a movie about a bunch of assassins in one place. And both of these movies I struggled with more than I thought.
Yes.
It keeps it a fair fight.
Yeah.
But fucking hell.
I know.
What the fuck is going on?
I'll tell you my Bullet Train story. I watched it twice in quick succession after it arrived on Home Entertainment. The first time, because I'd seen the trailer, knew the premise, and was convinced it was exactly the kind of movie that I'd love. The second was about a week later to try and understand why I didn't love this movie as much as I thought I should. The third was this week.
Okay.
So that is...
What a level of commitment.
I'm going to watch it again as well. I fail to understand why I don't love this movie.
Like, sometimes it just doesn't work, man. You don't just keep... It's not on you.
Tell me about it.
Well, you are victim-blaming yourself.
It is me. It's not the movie. I'm missing something.
You're not.
I will repeatedly watch this movie until I love it.
That says a lot about our egos, which I always like to... You know, I'm like, oh, your ego's out of control, and I'm so humble. But it's like, I'm like, this is your fault, film. Not can possibly be me that's misunderstood something.
I don't know, because, you know, I mean, I really do believe movie watching is mood-dependent. Which is why the cinema... is a brilliant place to watch a movie.
Yeah, because it clears everything out.
It's like, if you're in your flat, you've experienced multiple emotions in that flat, and it's just, it's a quagmire of memories and emotion. And
sure. Okay.
So you're watching
Welcome
TV.
Welcome to your house.
Come around, it's the party house. It's not. It's a pit of solitude and sadness.
And reflection.
Yes, quiet, silent almost reflection for hours. Not a sound is made.
Don't say that.
Why?
Well, I just get worried. I just worry.
Yeah. Are you worried because you read reports where it goes they were found dead in their home? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've got to a point now.
I had my mum do this with me when I didn't pick up the phone once.
Yeah.
She was like, can you not do that because of that one line that appears in multiple press articles where the body was discovered at home in their flat? It's like a day later.
So I think we're at a point now where if you ignored me solidly and I was bugging you for something, I would just knock on the door. But that's quite recent, like the last, well, since we started doing the podcast. Like, there would have been a time if you'd ignored me, I thought, oh, well, I'll leave him be.
Aww.
But now I would bang the door down. But I would be annoyed at you and then you would be dead. And then I would be more annoyed.
Kick my body around for a bit.
You didn't get back to me. Oh, sorry.
But to go back to my slightly more positive point, which was the fact that when you're in the cinema, it's just the darkness, the immersion in the screen. It just, like you say, it clears out all the bullshit you are just so invested in the film. So, I'll tell you a bit about it.
Or forgiving as well. That's the thing with this film. If I'd seen it in the cinema, I would have been like, cool, fine, don't worry about it. But if you come into my house...
If I invite you in my home,
I
only invite you in, pay you to come to my house, then...
You better be bringing me a fucking present.
I swear to God, because there are other things I can be doing here.
Yeah, I can see them in the corner of my eye, all the things I could be doing.
I'm willing to pay a bit more money to come to yours, but, you know, I guess at that point, you know, I'm not got anything
else
to do.
That's exactly it.
No. Is it?
Yes!
Right, I'll tell you a bit about this movie. It's based on the and I really mean a little bit. It's based on the 2010 novel Maria Beetle, titled Bullet Train in the UK and the US, which was written by Kotaro Isaka. A Bullet Train, initially developed by Antoine Fuqua. He still co-produces the film. It was going to be a serious action thriller initially, but the project turned into a light-hearted action comedy during the development process. That's a quote I read. I don't know how far into the development process it turned into a comedy, because there's a quote from Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
Who says, it was only during the process of making the movie that it became a fun comedy. He said, originally, this thing was quite dark, R-rated. It was a vicious action piece. And he's kind of talking about himself and Brian Tyree Henry here. Yeah. But we hammed it up and made it fun. I don't know what happened, but it became a comedy.
So he changed the whole film.
That's his power.
That's his. You are so funny right now. We're going to change it all.
So the script is by Zach Olkowicz. He'd done only one movie before being handed what is not a small movie.
Yeah, that's mad.
He'd done Fear Street Part 2, or the Netflix Fear Street trilogy.
Okay.
He'd done Part 2 of that. Next gig, Bullet Train.
Crazy.
Like nearly $100 million this cost, and it's a big undertaking. He's the sole screenwriter.
Wow.
Big.
Well, good for them.
Big thing. He's got another movie which came out recently, which I do not know why. I cannot remember. I think Universal had it in the States. I don't know which studio had it here. It might have been E1. Don't know for sure. Called Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, yes.
So based on that one chapter.
Is that based on a
book? It's based on a chapter in the Dracula novel. Or it might even be less than a chapter.
About going to Whitby.
It's the ship's voyage from Transylvania to Whitby.
Yeah.
And how Dracula kills the crew.
Oh, of course.
Alien
yeah.
on a boat.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, shit. Mm. Okay, good.
So it sounds great. Apparently, it's not. Well, I say apparently. Reviews were a bit sniffy. They didn't do any marketing for it. It literally came out on like 7 screens, I think, in the UK. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant. Well, it's not brilliant. It's
good.
Really good fun.
Yeah.
Really good fun.
Oh, that's a shame.
Chris had a really good point about this. He said, I cannot believe. Because I was going, Voyage of the Dementor. It's like, it's not even Dementor, which is quite a cool word.
That's from Harry Potter.
It's Demeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, can you believe they've made Dracula on a boat and not put Dracula in the title? And then I think before it came out, they went, a Dracula story at the end or something. It needs Dracula in the title.
Yeah.
Dracula's Last Voyage in.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Chris's words, not mine. So we got David Leitch as the director. As you well know, he was co-director of John Wick. Then he went on to Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, Hobbs and Shaw. And this is his latest movie, Bullet Train. No, not a fan of those movies.
Atomic.
Sorry, just to confirm, I wasn't like, I'm going to ask Vicky. You shook your head as I said that.
I did a little wrinkle. I got called out for that at work, actually, earlier.
What did they say?
I'm an open book.
Yep.
I can't lie. Well, I lie to people's faces, but if I don't like something, it's quite obvious.
I'm waiting for you to come out of this well.
So someone said something, and I think it was on Zoom, on Teams, whatever.
And you smelled a fart.
No, yeah, essentially, yeah. I was like, that sounds great. And he was like, you just did the face. I was like, no, I didn't. Yeah. No, I did. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry, I hate it.
What on that list? Because obviously you
Hobbs and Shaw. No, thank you. Go away.
All right. I mean, that's one out of 4 films that I mentioned.
Yeah, so. Atomic Blonde was not what I wanted it to be. What was the other one?
We've got Deadpool 2.
Oh, I like Deadpool 2. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Okay, carry on.
And of course, John Wick.
Yes, fine. Fine.
Okay, his next movie stars Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
And Emily Blunt. It's a update, a reboot, a remake, whatever you want to call it. An adaptation of the old 80s TV show, The Fall Guy.
Oh, I don't know that, but...
Lee Majors is a stuntman.
Okay.
And goes on missions.
Does stunts?
Does stunts as well. I love those too. I never really watched it as a kid. It wasn't up there with Airwolf and the A-Team.
Sure.
Or Knight Rider. Or Jigs of Hazard, which we discussed the other week. So, yeah. Anyway.
That sounds good.
Mm. Brad Pitt was sent the script during... Oh, it's written by our friend Drew Pearce as well.
Oh, is it?
By our friend. I don't mean we're friends with him, but hello, Drew.
I used to be friends with him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, Vicky's friend, Drew Pearce.
Yes, sort of. This is a long story.
It's fine.
We went to a wedding together. It's fine.
Oh,
he got me a job. It's whatever.
That sounds like a friend.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I mean, are you backtracking because I look jealous?
No.
I'm meeting him.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Okay, fine. Anyway, I'm excited for The Fall Guy. So Brad Pitt gets sent the script during lockdown, and he said, reading it in lockdown, there was almost a feeling of depression, not about the script, about lockdown, like a worldwide depression in the air or something. I read the script and I said, that's the salve we need right now. That's what I want to see.
Sure.
So David Leitch wasn't sure he'd get Brad Pitt. He was nervous about sending him the script. Brad Pitt is like, yes, I'm in. And it's the first time that they've worked as director and actor, but they have worked together before.
Okay.
David Leitch was Brad Pitt's stuntman.
Hey, hooray!
Yeah, he was his stunt double on Fight Club, Spy Game, Ocean's 11, Troy, and the amazing, and I don't know if you know about this movie, we covered it, and I think we all agree Mr. and Mrs. Smith is one of the best movie. Vicky doesn't like it. He doesn't like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. For more on that, do check out the Mr. and Mrs. Smith versus...
True Lies.
True Lies episode. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, Brad Pitt, cast in the lead. Do you know how much he was paid?
£25.
Close. You got the 20 part right.
It's not, is it? 20, are you joking?
$20 million.
He's not that good in it.
We can talk about that, and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
So, do you want to have a little game of highest paid actors?
In this film, or in the world? In
the current list of the highest paid actors recently. Well, historically, actually, I think. Let me just have a quick look around. Yeah, okay. These are some of the most recent highest paid ones.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is not
what?
On the list. I really wish I'd written down more about this list.
This is what happens when you cut and paste off the internet.
Do you know what it is?
It's just a context-free list at this point.
Daniel Craig. I'll just read it rather than play a guessing game. We don't need to play a game. That was a real quiz. Daniel Craig got paid $100 million.
For one Bond?
For the Knives Out sequels. So I'm guessing there might be more than one, but that includes a streamer buyout. So he doesn't get any more. There's no back end or anything.
Okay.
You know, because... actors could take points for the box office.
Sure.
100 million. Dwayne Jesus. Johnson, Netflix.
Of course.
50 million for the Red Notice.
Set fire to your money.
Will Smith, 40 million for King Richard.
God, really?
Denzel Washington, 40 million for The Little Things. Did you see that serial killer movie with Jared Leto and Rami Malek? Don't Look Up. These are all streamers. This is why the streamers are paying a lot of money for stars. So Leonardo DiCaprio, Don't Look Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. 30 million.
Yep.
Mark Wahlberg, did you watch Spencer Confidential?
No.
It's actually more fun than it should be, but it's still 30 million. Jennifer Lawrence, Don't Look Up, 25 million.
Yeah. Is it an expensive film?
Sandra Bullock in The Lost City of D, 20 million. The Lost City, not The Lost City of D, The Lost City.
That's the book, yeah. Though, I think.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, The Grey Man.
I haven't seen that, but I should watch that. But I'm too embarrassed to watch it in front of Mark, because I'm watching it to perv on him, so... Not Mark, actually. And I'm not allowed. I don't know. It's just hard to be like, why do you want to watch this film? Well, because have you seen who's in it and what he does? So, yeah.
Yeah. So this is actually a list from the last 2 years. The Grey Man's... I thought it was great. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was fun.
Okay. It's very long, isn't it? Like, that's what puts me off a bit.
It's fine. I was talking on my other podcast.
Yeah.
To Dexter Fletcher.
I was to Ryan Gosling then. Like, what the fuck?
Me and Ryan.
You let me know when you're doing that.
The shit at the pub in Highgate. I was talking to Dexter Fletcher about this. I do think some movies are unfairly kicked around because they're big action movies on streamers. Because I think there is this idea, it's like, well, this is great. This is all about the spectacle. This belongs in a theatre. Mm-hmm. You haven't put it in a theatre. You've put it on your streaming platform. So we're going to kick it down. We're going to kick it around because of that, because it belongs in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I think The Grey Man got that. I think it's fine. And I like Chris Evans in it.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock obviously is in this movie. Surprise, you
surprise,
love Sandy B.
Surprise, I do.
Did you work out? Did you recognise the voice at the start?
I didn't.
No? Was it a surprise at the end?
It was a surprise at the end.
Is it a nice thing?
I thought the dialogue was beneath her. frankly. I think the dialogue's poor. So
she replaced Lady Gaga.
What? What?
Well, there are two sources. One says Lady Gaga was cast in an unnamed role but had to drop out because of House of Gucci.
Yeah.
And others say this was the role that she was going to play. And
she
then
would never do that. She's the star. Like, Sandy can pop up because her legacy is secure. But
is it not a big thing? I think it works the opposite way. I think if Lady Gaga is like, I'll cameo in your movie.
It pulls
if Ryan got if Ryan Gosling, you got him, I've got him on the brain now. Yeah. If Ryan Reynolds is cameoing, then I'll do a cameo.
I suppose. Mm. Yeah, I see that.
So, yeah. That's about it.
Great.
They built real train cars, but then it's LED screens outside. They were never on a real train.
They were never on a real train.
I'll touch briefly on... there was a whitewashing accusation level at this, because the original book is obviously a Japanese book, and a lot of the characters in the book, people assumed, and I say assumed at this stage, were Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, Japanese American Citizens League, the executive director, said that while American actors would have been appropriate if the setting were changed to the United States, the filmmakers used the novel's Japanese setting while keeping Japanese characters in the film's background, strengthening charges of whitewashing. And he questioned the actors' allyship to the Asian community for knowingly accepting whitewashed roles, and criticised the film for pushing the belief that Asian actors in leading roles cannot carry a blockbuster despite the recent successes of Crazy Rich Asians and Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Mm-hmm.
So the book's author, Asaka, he actually defended the film. He described his characters in his book as ethnically malleable, maintaining that his original Japanese setting and context were irrelevant as they were not real people. Maybe they're not even Japanese.
Sure.
So that was the whitewashing accusation, which I do remember coming out around the time of the film.
Yeah.
Which is always a negative spin when a movie's being released in the marketing world. But there you go. Shall we talk about it?
Let's
meet the father, Andrew Koji.
Yeah.
So his name appears on the screen. The father.
The father.
The father. We get some news about a boomslang snake being stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And his son has been pushed off a roof.
Yeah.
And his dad is there calling him out. Calling him a...
You're a bad dad.
Rubbish. You are rubbish.
Dad.
Do you know how many times you were pushed off a roof, son? Zero.
I got your mum killed, but more on that later.
Well, I've said too much. This is more about your flaws.
This is your failures, yeah. Not mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah. And then we're into a Japanese cover of Staying Alive.
Yeah, that's true.
And we've
yeah.
got Brad Pitt literally doing the John Travolta strut to Staying Alive.
Yes, we do.
I don't know why. I like it. It's cool. I liked it more in the trailer.
Yeah.
But here, sure.
I don't know
what we're meant to take from.
I what you said in the on about it's just wellness stuff, and it's like that shtick has been done to death. The idea of
most notably in Virtuosity by Russell Crowe.
I love that film.
I know you do.
I do love that film.
Have we done it yet?
We did do it. Were you not? Were you here? Because
oh, no,
I was banging on
yes,
about how
I
much
was.
I actually genuinely like it, and you don't. Or so, do you know what? Who cares? But the point is, the trailer makes you go, oh, look, Brad Pitt's got a tourist hat on, and then you think, oh, that's fun. And it doesn't really develop much from there.
Yeah, as I said in my synopsis, which wasn't one of the funnier ones, because I really struggled to find the funny in this film,
yeah.
It's just, he is, we'll do it now. We'll do it now and get it out of the way. He's a terrible. Not I like Brad Pitt.
I love
and
him.
It's not Brad Pitt's fault, I don't think.
It's the dialogue.
It's the dialogue and it's the character.
Yeah.
He's your lead.
Yes.
And you just like you have no empathy for this guy. He's irritating. I mean, when Tangerine calls him out and goes, you're insufferable or something, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
I'm not invested in your survival whatsoever, yeah. Which is bad.
The wellness joke is overdone. I feel like we've seen it, and I feel like someone going, I just need to reflect on what I've done right now, or whatever, whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. You can still do that joke. There is still a little bit of like juice left in that, but you need to be super sharp with the dialogue. It's not enough to go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, which is effectively the whole joke.
It's like I did earlier. It's the Martin Lawrence joke from Bad Boys 2, where yeah. he's always like going, woosa,
yeah.
woosa. And he does it with that word, and you get the joke. In any situation that's stressful, he's like, woosa.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Rambling on and on, like 20 lines to say woosa is too many yeah. lines.
You need to skewer wellness, mindfulness much more sharply than that. Like, you need to go deep to make it funny, I think.
So Barry, he keeps banging on about his therapist. Barry, that he was meant to feature in the movie. David Leitch wanted Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that's lovely.
To play his therapist, a little speed reunion with Sandra Bullock there. So, yeah, he wanted him in it. It didn't happen, even though he directed him in John Wick. He thought he could get him. Didn't work out. Don't know why. But
don't like the script.
Brad Pitt gets banged into and drops a key for a locker. The father knocks into him. Now, I think the only reason... because he breaks into the locker 2 seconds later, so it's not like the key...
was used.
Dropping the key doesn't change the direction of the movie.
Yeah.
And I honestly think the only reason they drop the key is to focus in on the bit of paper, which is his ticket for the train conductor joke.
Right.
Because if you... otherwise, your shot would be of a bit of paper on the ground, and you'd think it was just litter.
Yeah.
So they've added a key, so you focus in and go, oh, there's a couple of things there he's dropped. I like that he wears glasses, though. I think that's nice. A hitman who has to put on glasses. Quite good.
Okay.
But he's just a snatch-and-grab guy, so I don't know if he's even a hitman.
No, he's not.
No.
But he has killed people.
I don't...
Has he?
I don't think he has.
Ever?
I don't know. I don't know. He won't take the gum, though. He wants simpler jobs, no more psychopaths. Cut to Lemon and Tangerine. So, saying it up front.
Yeah.
Absolutely love Aaron Taylor Johnson as Tangerine in this movie. I think he knows. And he knows
what film he's in.
He knows what film he's in.
Although he says it changed halfway, so does he? But fine.
Well, he knows what film he wants to make, and he changes the entire film to make it work. But I think he's great, and I do enjoy this relationship. I think him and Lemon, I think it was going to come up later, but let's do it now and get through this. I think they are the beating heart of this movie.
Yes, I agree.
Which is insane because they kill a lot of people. There's a shot of them diced, like, severed with loads of severed limbs
in a barrel.
In an oil drum. Yeah. And you're like, and yet at the end, you are like, these are the two characters I care about. Not Brad Pitt, not anyone. These two, not even the father.
Because the grandson thing is sort of swept up. It's cool with the killer nurse bit, but when they each think the other one is dead at various points, and they are really sad, and the surprise is they really are brothers. They grew up together. They mourn for each other, and it is actually weirdly affected. I think that if it wasn't Aaron Taylor Johnson, like that coked energy, that sort of, he's like, his clothes are too tight. He's like maniacal. I do think the dialogue lets him down a little bit, which is like, you know, if you do that one more time, I'm going to punch you in the fucking face. It's so Guy Ritchie. I feel like I've seen it one zillion times before, but he gets me through it, I think.
Yeah. I just...
it's not surprising enough. I've seen that character millions of times, and I'm always pleased to see that character because you don't know what they're going to do next and whatever, whatever.
He does it so well, though.
Yeah,
It's like his look and his performance. He feels like the standout character in this film. It's like putting Zazie Beetz in a costume. But, like, I mean, in fairness, in her defense, she doesn't appear till quite late in it, and then she appears and dies in the same scene.
Instantly, yeah.
Yeah, Joey King as the prince, sort of an iconic look, but she's sort of like, for me, the standout, the one when I think about this movie and I think about, you know, we were talking about the Tremor Brothers in Smokin' Aces and how they are the sort of, they've got this iconic look and they're that your standout assassins in that movie.
Yes.
He's the same in this.
Yeah, for sure.
No one else comes close.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, do you want to know a little sweet story about Tangerine and Lemon and Aaron Taylor Johnson and Brian Tyree Henry?
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor Johnson brought them a lemon tree to have between their two trailers on set, and they were going to look after it and nurture it
and
to
it
show the nurturing relationship of their characters.
Okay.
And David Leitch still has that lemon tree. He had it in his house.
Oh, I wish you'd not tell me that.
Because I can hear all you've got in your head is actors.
Also, probably not true. Also, they've probably got some poor fucking runner. Can you water the lemon tree? Do I have to? Yes. Because if it dies, the film is cursed. Mm.
Ladybug bows to a conductor. I thought they bowed here.
Yes.
It's little asides like that that you're like, and No, okay. He's after a briefcase. So it turns out Joey King, the prince, pushed the father's son off the roof.
Now, quick question here, not to fuck with the tight-knit structure of this thing.
Okay.
She uses a comatose son as leverage against the father. She pushed that boy off a building. What if he died?
Good point.
Thanks.
didn't even think of that.
Maybe it's my first screenplay too, and I would have thought that.
Oh my god, that's mad.
It's all right if she pivoted and it's like I see an opportunity, but it's just like you pushed him from a very high position. I don't know, it's a miracle he didn't die.
Well, let's get distracted by Lemon and Tangerine discussing lemon drizzle cake. I do like their lemon conversation. You don't like it, do you? You think it's
really
too
obvious,
Guy Ritchie?
Yeah. Oh, fun. I don't do that character. Do both of those people, do it definitely, but you just got to come with something new, I think.
How about the Thomas the Tank Engine chat? No. Nope, not into that.
It's fine. Because I'm a doofus. Finally, I was like, oh, because we're on a train. I get it. So I'm an idiot. But at first, I was like, you're just doing that thing. It's like, I'm a fucking hitman. And it's a bit surprising, yeah, that I like something childish, yeah. It's like, no.
Aussie Germans coming.
You see? Mm. The Thomas the Tank Engine thing totally works, though, because it's sweet and because there is a diesel and there is whatever. But what I wanted, actually, what would make it work is that Tangerine loves Lemon's Thomas the Tank Engine thing, and you don't mess with him when it comes to that, because he's like, shut the fuck up, yeah, about Thomas the Tank Engine. He should be like, please, talk, say your thing. Like, this is special to you. Mm. I accept it. That would have made it work.
Well, I think we need some action here. Sure. So let's have a really, really good, fun action sequence set to the music of Engelbert Humperdinck. I'm forever blowing bubbles. It's the body count flashback. It's dark. It's funny. I like their bickering. I like the payoff of the count. That is director David Leitch at that moment. I think, yes, it is, who goes up to the car, the civilian at the end,
yes,
the button on the scene. I like the bit about swords. Why do they always have fucking swords? It's good. It's fun. Thoughts?
Hate it. Sorry, I'd forgotten about it until you mentioned it. What am I watching? Why do I need to? It's cute, and it's this style. It fits with the style of the movie that it's like, we're going to have an argument. Let's do it. Can we just do it really quickly? When he started counting, I was like, are you fucking serious? Are we going to count now to 17? No, you're all right.
But that's the argument they're having.
I know that.
But also, I think David Leitch's theory about this was, I don't want people to get claustrophobic being trapped on a train for the whole
time.
Which is why he wants to do these cutaways to action outside the train, which happens more than once, obviously, when we get the whole White Death backstory. So that's why he wanted to do it. I really enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's good. I think it does take me out of the train, and it's well shot.
Yep.
The explosions are great. The car, it's exploding. It's all good. And it's kind of funny.
Yep.
It is very Guy Ritchie,
but
that's what this movie is.
Sure, yeah, fair enough.
So, the briefcase gets stolen by Ladybug. We get the backstory on the White Death. The prince is going to make the father kill the White Death. The White Death's son is dead.
Yeah, I love that.
Did you like that?
Yeah, love all the blood and the eyes and the, like, that's great.
Mm. Well, you get more of that because we get the wolf's backstory.
Amazing.
Next. So this is
Bad
Bunny. Benito Martinez Ocasio is his full name. But yeah, he's rapper Bad Bunny. Yeah, I like his backstory.
Yeah, it's great.
It's good.
It's really good. Mm. That's what I mean. Like, I'm not just being sniffy about leaving the train and doing whatever. I could have stayed longer in his backstory. These expository things where it's like, one person, two person, why have they got fucking swords? Like, fuck off. Mm. But this, loved it.
So, originally that character was meant to be much, much older, is what David Leitch had in mind for the wolf. A really sort of, it was him.
Grizzled.
His long love. His long love. He'd been with this woman for ages and then she died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was vengeance for like him taking like the wife he'd been married to for 30 years. And then Bad Bunny came in and he was like, no, we'll make it the first love and do it that way.
Yeah.
And so, and he's good. It's sort of, again, I moaned on Monday. I feel this week's been a bit moany on my part, and I apologise for that, but, you know, I've got a lot to moan about with these movies. On Monday, I felt like, you know, Assassins didn't get to do that much, like Alicia Keys spending, you know, an hour standing by an elevator in the most kinetic action movie ever. It's like, what? In this, I feel like they're killing off the wrong characters too early. Yeah. Like, the wolf should be around longer.
Definitely.
He's good.
Yeah, he's really
it's
good.
It's sort of in and out.
It's a shame, yeah. Mm.
And Zazie Beetz as well.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. It's the by the time you get to that beat, it's like, look how carefully she's planned it. Oh, she's dead.
Mm. So, the wolf dies. Let this be a lesson in the toxicity of anger. Is Brad Pitt's button.
Do you see what I mean? You could do a pass at that and you could make that better. Mm. No?
I could.
Yes, you could.
I could. the prince sends Tangerine after Ladybug. She's lying. She's a little liar.
She's just a little liar.
A little liar. Where are we? God. So there's a lot of walking up and down this freaking train.
It is most of the film, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the giant. This is the bit I like. This is maybe my favourite moment from Aaron Taylor Johnson in this movie is when the giant costumed thing yes. is following him, and he chucks a cuddly toy at it.
Yeah.
He first goes stop.
Yes.
Chucks a cuddly toy. Beep. Arsehole. Great. Just because it's really weird.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's his character, but it's also just, that's a weird beat.
Yes.
Asshole! So that's my favourite moment from him. So Ladybug puts sleeping powder in the bowl. No idea why.
Why what?
Why he puts the sleeping powder in the bottle.
To vanquish Brian Tyree Henry to sleep. Yeah. Yes. It's okay. A good twist because when he's on the phone to Sandra Bullock, she's like, you haven't got the powder. And picks it up and he goes, no. And then he's like, oh, we messed with the dosage or something. So you assume it's going to kill him dead.
Right.
But he means mess with the dosage, make it more humane. Bring, you know, just put someone to sleep like it's supposed to.
Mm.
I like that.
Okay. The boom slang appears and its name comes up on screen, which I love. Do you hate that?
No, I don't hate that. Sorry.
I'm being,
yeah, it's all right. It's cool.
Channing Tatum.
Oh, I know. Hello, you. There's something for everyone here.
Have we taken a break?
I can't remember. Thank you for being open enough to actually ask me.
Well, let's take a break now, and if it's a second break, then we'll be literally right back.
Thank you for being vulnerable.
Let's try it, and then we'll talk Channing Tatum. Break.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey. Channing Tatum.
Hello.
It's Channing Tatum.
He's a bit of a cameo king, isn't he?
He is a little bit.
I was trying to work out Free Guy, which we talked
about.
This is the end, where he's Danny McBride's manslave.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of that.
Yeah.
And obviously here.
Yeah.
want to make an easy $200. This is a sex thing.
It's so good.
It's good. It's great. It's great because when Aaron Taylor-Johnson turns up, he goes, is this the sex thing?
Yeah. What does he say about it? He's like, he's got such a great walk. Not a great walk.
It's something like that.
Yeah, love that.
Mm. I like Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Tangerine, getting angry with the guys on the phone. Do us a fucking favour and get off my fucking back. I know it's Guy Ritchie, but he delivers it. I like his anger. He's funny angry.
He's really funny. When he talks truth to the people later, or he's speaking to White Death, and he's built it up well enough that by the time he's talking to his boss like that, and you know it's going to get him killed, it's really satisfying.
Mm. So, the prince spits on the face of the White Death's dead son.
Yeah.
Tangerine says to Lemon while he's looking for Ladybug, and Lemon, you be careful too, because he cares.
He loves him.
He does.
That's his brother.
He does. So she puts a bomb in a suitcase. The father is set up to fail. The White Death kills himself with the gun. Ugh, there's a lot of planning.
Fine.
The wolf, there's a lot of plots here. Wolf worked out who the hornet was. The reason I got a bit confused here is because the wolf has been told who killed his bride and all his wedding guests.
Yes.
And in that envelope is a picture of the hornet.
Yes.
So he gets there, sees Brad Pitt, recognises him from the wedding.
Yes.
But then they have the fight and he goes, I'm here to kill you. And it's like, but you're not. You're here to kill the hornet.
Yeah, I can't remember. I heard him say something like, oh, it was just a bonus that you were here too.
Okay.
I might have filled in a gap.
So we find out the hornet killed the White Death's son because that was her modus operandi. Tangerine and Ladybug fight. Tangerine, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, sliced his hand open here and had to take a day off.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Apparently it was very bad and he didn't realise initially. And then he saw it and he was like, I've got to go home.
He's so hard, though. He wouldn't notice, would he?
I can't. This might be my favourite Aaron Taylor-Johnson performance until Craven the Hunter comes out, which I think looks a lot of fun. So, do you like the, again, it was in the trailer, like a lot of the best moments were in the trailer, but the snack cart interruption, where they're in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, I did see that in the trailer. I did like it. I mean, it feels really obvious. Again, the dialogue could be better. Yes, he throws a drink at his head, but it's all fine.
Mm. So then they end up outside the train, they're back in the train, then he pretends to be Lemon on the platform. I did like that joke where Ladybug, just because he gets the bad luck thing. You know, I mentioned it in the synopsis.
Yeah.
Did you find it confusing? Because, like, he has bad luck.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
He goes on and on about his bad luck, but there are, like I listed, the knife bouncing off the briefcase and killing the wolf. That's good luck.
I wish I'd noticed because it would have made me like it more, I think.
No, it's not good.
Oh, is it not? Because is it not a joke?
I honestly don't know.
Is it not intentional?
The bit with the briefcase is funny where he spins the combination and it lands on the right one.
Yeah.
And they realise it's not the money.
Yeah.
Lemon drinks the sleeping powder. Lemon shoots the father. Tangerine headbutts his way back into the train, which is funny.
So he can run faster than a bullet train and he can smash the glass.
And he catches up to it.
Yeah, but still, they set off quite fast.
Have you been on one?
No, but I would love to.
I've been on one.
Is it good?
Yeah, they're great.
Does it look like that train?
Yes.
Is it so clean inside?
Yeah, they're immaculate, and also, this won't appeal to you anymore because you've given up, and I'm trying as well. But they've got a little compartment that you can shut yourself in by the toilets and smoke!
No!
Yeah! But they're amazing, and they go very fast.
Do they?
Yeah, they're great.
They should do, because
super efficient,
yes.
As you'd imagine.
Very expensive?
Not
really?
Not unbelievably expensive.
Maybe one day I'll go on one.
Although that said, I bought a vintage poster because I hadn't worked out. I bought a vintage poster thinking it was about £70, and it was like £200. And you can't bartering is not a thing in Japan, and so I was like,
it's not a thing here.
No, I know, but it was from a little flea market.
Oh, it was from a shop.
No.
Like, what are you two going in Asda? And be like, no.
I've come to bargain.
These George jeans. I think knock a fiver off.
I think definitely.
We've got a deal. I've just scanned them. The price has come up.
They're already a fiver. What do you want me to do?
Tatum does say, he's got a great walk.
I like that.
Mm. So the Hornet is revealed as Zazie Beetz. She attacks Ladybug with the boomslang poison, stabs Hornet with the syringe, and then he stabs himself with the antidote.
Yeah.
By accident or on purpose? I couldn't work out what the message was.
I'm so distracted. Right, here's the thing. She comes in as the trolley girl, the snack girl. Mm. She's in her costume. Mm. She's got a blonde wig to look like her. Why did she bring the blonde wig? Why would she not just be her with a hat on? Whatever, fine. Mm. So that then says to me, you're a meticulous planner. Like, everything you've done brings you... We know it doesn't bring you here later, but at this point, you're meant to think everything you've done is bring you to this point. Mm. But you get dispatched in the most stupid way possible, which is hoist by your own petard kind of thing. Also, why does she say bitch all the time?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
So jarring. Maybe it's in the book, I don't know, but I found it really jarring. That's my bitch. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Tangerine finds Lemon and thinks he's dead and is sad.
He is sad, yeah.
And we hear the needle drop, the callback of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Yeah.
It got me. And we see them as kids watching West Ham beat Chelsea, which I'm assuming was a... Chris?
Well, he's probably... That's never happened or something.
At this point, I'm definitely convinced the prince is so evil. I can't wait to see her get a comeuppance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is evil.
Oh, yeah. Wait, maybe I've got that the wrong way. Tangerine finds Lemon and it's... Maybe...
Yeah, it's fine.
It's the other way around.
It's fine. No.
Anyway, whatever. One of them's dead and it's Tangerine.
And it's sad.
Mm. So the father's dad gets on. The elder.
Love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Really good.
And, he's recognised the prince's voice, so he knows that she's evil.
Snake. She goes, oh, be honest. It's like a bad accent, but okay, cool.
The snake, hit snake, don't open, written on the toilet's funny.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah.
More than weirdy, sort of little bit surreal stuff, yeah. Weirder stuff like that is great.
Really, yeah, good.
So the elder tells Brad, I'm going to tell you a story. He's like, I'm good. He's like, it's a short story. It's like, no, honestly, I'm fine. I mean, it's quite important. And so I like that.
I
like
that
little bit. It's a similar beat to Warcraft the other week, where it's like, it's a trap. It isn't. No, it is. No, but it couldn't be. All of that.
Yeah.
Right. So the elder used to work for the guy that the White Death killed. Get more backstory. The White Death killed his wife, but his son survived. The elder has been looking for a way to take revenge. This is all about fate here. This is sort of tying it all together. It's fate, which will come back at the end when we reveal why everyone is on the train. So everything that's ever happened to you, Ladybug, has led you here. So, I mean, Jesus. At this point, this is 2 hours long.
It is, yeah.
A little more, yeah. Just over. I'm starting to
drift.
I feel like I'm on the train now.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to get off the train, and I'm very excited to get off it. And they keep teasing me with getting off
I
this
know.
Train. I know. We're not getting off here, back on the train. I'm like,
we must get to Kyoto. Let's get there then. Mm.
Where are we? I'm
sweetie,
lost.
Sweetie, okay, listen. So, at this point now, we're going to make a... Don't worry about it. The men make a plan, right? The men that are left.
Yeah.
We've got the reveal that White Death is Prince's dad.
Yeah.
Me, I think I'm so smart. I didn't see that coming. So, like, I'm an idiot. I genuinely was like, no way. Amazing, right?
Wait. White Death is...
I didn't see it coming.
You're a liar.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Okay.
Their scenes together, where they... Are they Russian? Were they speaking Eastern European, whatever, to each other?
Well, it's Michael Shannon, isn't it? Did you like seeing Michael Shannon turn up?
Yes, of course I did.
He's good.
He's terrifying. Yeah. That scene, I thought, was... If almost from a different film, where she was like, I did this to get your attention. He's like, I see you, but you were never part of my plan. Mm. That's brutal. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So anyway, she's kind of hiding. There's a fight.
We get the two funny guys bitching about having to open the case on the platform.
That's quite funny. I quite like that. I hated all the stop the train stuff. I thought it was boring, but whatever.
I got it from here.
Yeah.
So the White Death wanted to kill Lemon and Tangerine because he was in Bolivia after they took out his crew, which is why his wife was in the car and not him.
Yes.
And the Hornet killed the surgeon who could have saved his wife's life.
Yes.
So that's why she's on the train. And his son got his wife killed by calling her to bail him out, which is why he had the hornet kill his son before having the hornet killed.
Correct.
So
good work.
All of that has linked us all together. That's why we're all on the train. White Death thinks Ladybug finally, the final part of the puzzle is Carver, who is the person who killed his wife. Cut to Ryan Reynolds returning the favour to Brad Pitt of appearing in the Deadpool 2 cameo.
Yes.
Good. So, maybe my favourite scene in the movie, TBD. Need a Hero. By Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, God, yeah.
The cover set to the action. I mean, I hate to say it. This is what the whole film should have been.
Yes.
It's that pop sort of fizz, that frothiness.
I love that song anyway.
That silliness.
Yeah, it's really good.
The Japanese cover of that as the elder is chopping, is fighting with White Death, is White Death's men, is brilliant. I like the Russian roulette thing because I'm one of those people that goes, ooh, Russian roulette.
Yeah. I like the slide in the gun. That's a silly thing that is awesome.
Lemon falls into a river. Ladybug stops the train or tries to. We get the story of the water bottle.
You're fine.
I mean, I wanted a bottle of Fiji afterwards. I'm like, this is hero water.
It's fine.
The brakes, the end of the rail, big train crash, all CGI. I mean, I'm not saying you should crash a train into a suburb.
An empty suburb. But no one gets hurt.
Nah, I know. Well, we don't know.
I've never been.
It's one of those collateral things. It's like Man of Steel. It's like all these movies where you're like, I think people live there. People were in those houses and died. But sure, let's make some more jokes. And the White Death is still alive. I like the way he goes, I want the Carver! and then he gets his head blown off. And initially, you're not sure by who. And it turns out it was the prince.
Yes.
And then she gets hit by a truck. Confusing for a moment, to be revealed. Maria turns up. It's Sandy B!
Sandra, you're here!
With dialogue that you described as beneath her.
It's beneath her, quite frankly. Everything she's had to say to this point, she's like, oh God, I can't even do it. You should. Are you sitting down? You need to sit down or something. You know, you shouldn't listen to everything Barry said. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just rubbish. Yeah. It's all rubbish.
Yeah. And then she's like, sometimes, you know, how do you know your bad luck is bad? You know, it's all perspective. Cue her car being crushed.
Yeah.
And him going, well, we top the and then the credits, we see that Lemon survived and he's the one driving the tangerine truck.
Cool.
Into the prince.
Fine.
End.
The end.
Yeah. God.
That's £15, please.
So, let's do the bits.
Okay.
What is your favourite scene?
The Wolf's Wedding.
I'm just going to make it clear. Because I'm off next week, we've done...
are you sure you want to do this?
I do want to. I do. I think we have reached a point where we are honest with people. And I think it's time to pull back the curtain. We've been in this room for 7 hours now. So, and we've done World of Warcraft. We did Warcraft and Dungeons and Dragons. And then we did Smoking Aces. And we're reaching the end of Bullet Train.
I can't speak.
The thing is broken.
It stopped working.
The pod is broken. So, best scene. What is your best scene?
The Wolf's Wedding. I thought it was good. I like the blood coming out of everybody's eyes and mouth.
I like the scene that you don't like, which is the lemon and tangerine body count argument flashback, but it's the action set to the Japanese version of Bonnie Tyler's holding out for a hero. It's fun, and it's zany, and it's silly, and it's great, and it's stylish, and it's a mashup of the music and the action coming together to create this iconic scene, and it's how the whole movie should have bloody been.
Great.
So, what's your most valuable whatever?
I genuinely really like the train. I think it's a character in itself. I don't actually think that, but I do like the train.
You call it a character in itself.
I bet somebody did in the course of developing this film.
Yeah, of course.
I like Hiroyuki Sanada as the elder. I think he's the best thing in this by some distance.
Okay. 100% Aaron Taylor Johnson for me. I think he is the best thing in this by country mile. Closest followed by Channing Tatum. So apart from him, everything else a country mile. I just think he nails the tone. I think he, you know, it's exactly the tone this movie should be. We talked about it just the other show. I don't know which one it was because of what I've just explained about how many we've done.
That's right.
But it's where someone is funny because they're so in character. The humour comes from the character.
Yes.
You know, him shouting, "Arsehole!" at a person in a costume is funny, not because it's funny, but because in character it works
you're
for
right.
the character.
You're right.
So he's not mugging for laughs. It's genuinely funny. Whereas I think Brad Pitt comes across as a bit like Chris Pine in Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. They're trying too hard. That's the movie we were talking about here.
Yep.
So, yeah. Right then, what would you change, Victoria?
Right, two things. Mm. It should be Ryan Reynolds driving the truck, even though it undoes the lemon and tangerine thing, because it should be Carver that pops up at the end, like, sorry, I'm late kind of thing, because he was meant to be involved in the first place, so then he comes back to, like, claim his place. But the other thing I thought would be fun is if we find out at the end that the White Death's wife actually hated him. Or the reason she was in the car was something he thought was portentous and he's tried to string together with this spider's web of narrative, but it was random and she was not going to be in that car and it was something else random. So he's done this whole thing for nothing.
Interesting.
Is that the same as yours?
It's not. Aside from obviously, and this is the most basic thing, I punch up this script. This script, you've got people in this movie who are very, very funny, and you can give them funny stuff to do, and they will go mad with it. They'll have so much fun with it. Mm-hmm. Like, let them riff, let them ad lib. I don't know how much ad libbing was going on. I don't know how much improv was going on, but anyway, David Leitch agrees. He says, David Leitch says this. I won't say agrees until I get to his quote, and afterwards, you can go on a longer journey if you have that empathy. They're never going to be redeemable, and that's fine. He said the moral of the tale doesn't allow them to be redeemable, but you can get you can go on a longer journey and have more fun with the ups and downs and get some of the feels that you would never have if you were completely detached from these characters. So what he's talking about there, I should have set it up better, is that, you know, he feels that he's given these characters a reason to empathise with them. They're not just people that you don't care if they die. You know, even though they're bad guys, you empathise.
That's exactly what Joe Carnahan said. Not word for word, but the gist of it was like, no one's just doing it for the sake of it. They all have a moment where they're human.
Right. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's why we paired them.
That's so true.
So for me, I just think with a star like Brad Pitt as the lead, you know, we, the audience, are inclined to feel we should be most invested in his story. He's Brad Pitt. You've paid him $20 million. his character, I'm going to say it, is pretty insufferable. And worse than that, doesn't go on a journey that I recognise. If he goes on some kind of journey by the end, it's the slimmest of arcs. I don't know that he's any different at the end.
No, I thought he was going to do a thing where he's like, fine, fuck it, I will be that person, and throws all this shit off and is a badass.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Which would make sense if he goes... Do you know what?
I've tried. I can't.
And then he kicks the shit out of everyone.
Yes!
That's the arc!
Yes.
It's like, fuck, you know, because, you know, also, we're finding the mindfulness stuff irritating.
Yeah.
So what a fucking way to pull the rug. It's like, actually, now he's dropped the mindfulness stuff.
Yeah. That's why he wasn't very convincing at it, because it wasn't him.
Exactly. Whereas, none of that is the case. That should be the change. But there's just no investment in him. All the emotion belongs to Lemon and Tangerine, and I'm going to say this, my change is, I'd rather Ladybug had died and Tangerine had lived.
Yeah.
Fact. I know, $20 million, you're keeping until the credits, but fucking hell. Tangerine, I care more about. That is us done. It is now. You can do it.
Thank you. It's time for the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So I think I'll just go first.
Sure.
I keep changing my mind.
I mean, it is worth noting, I guess, that one of these movies cost $17 million, Smoking Aces.
Yeah.
One of these cost $90 million, which is...
90?
90. 90.
90?
90 is what Bullet Train cost, which is why I don't think it did the business that they expected, because it needed to make so much.
Yeah. All right, so, all right, here we go. Magician as central character, nope. But Brad Pitt as Ladybug, also nope. The accents are both, some of the accents are terrible. The location in Bullet Train is done better than the hotel, I think. We spend a lot of time in a corridor in Smoking Aces, which is not fun.
Yeah, and then, you're also not going, we need to all get to the penthouse on the train. It's like, we all need to be on the train. Done. So you've delivered on the promise of the premise. Yeah. Whereas, you know, not getting to the penthouse and smoking
it's a smart
madness.
Setup at the beginning where they're like, and it stops for a minute at each station and that's it. Like, you're like, oh, good, I get that. They're both full of stars. I like all of that. They don't ask too much of me. The tonal shifts in smokinesses I cannot be doing with, and the ending is preposterous. But there's not much about Bullet Train that's so awesome about the end either. It's just quite unsatisfying. I mean, yeah, the fate stuff is fun. Okay, anyway, right, here we go. Because Sandra Bullock is in the end of Bullet Train, I will choose Bullet Train.
Okie dokie. That's Sorry. One for Bullet Train.
Yeah.
So, as I said, I genuinely... I expected to love both these movies much more than I did. I really like, on paper, these are my kind of movies. As it stands, neither deliver what I want. Smoking Aces, I think it's just plain nasty at times, which isn't what I bought into. From, you know, I know it's, you know, Joe Carnahan definitely didn't make the trailer. Someone else made the trailer and went, pump up the fun. And you watch the trailer and you go, fun. And then, like, Ryan Reynolds, he's in a different movie. Like you said on Monday, Medic! Medic! My best friend's dying! You're like, fucking hell. Hey, look, it's the Trevor Brothers. Wow. They've got chainsaws and red mist in a hotel. Fucking, like, all over the shop. Bullet Train, I mean... Just the talent involved in this, I just can't believe it's not as good as it should be. It's like everyone in this movie knows what a good movie like what this. Everyone in this movie knows how this movie should look to be good. It's and the drop off between the talent, David Leitch, Brad Pitt, you know, involved in this, Sandra Bullock, like everyone knows that what they're saying is not good enough, and yet no one's going, this needs to be better. Like, David Leitch has made, like, Deadpool. He knows Ryan Reynolds. He knows what Ryan Reynolds does. He knows what's funny.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, fucking funny. And yet no one's going, do you think we should... No.
Just give it one more go. Right.
Let's just do it on the, as it is on the page.
Okay.
Madness. So it's a really tough one, but because of Aaron Taylor-Johnson, it's Tangerine, it's Bullet Train for me. Okay. He makes it for me. Yeah. His best performance... There's chuckles in Bullet Train. There's not a single chuckle in Smoking Aces. So Bullet Train is our winner.
Wow.
Chris also voted for Bullet Train.
Yes.
So it's a 3-for-3 on Bullet Train. That is our winner. If you do think we got it wrong, and you're completely entitled to do that, please vote when the poll goes up on our Twitter at ClashPod. And that is it.
Yep.
Done.
Dunzo.
That was a stretch. So.
It was, wasn't it? Do you know what lessons will be learned?
That tickled me.
Lessons will be learned.
You can't tickle Pacino. Go on, then. Give us our clue. What was the clue you gave for next week's pairing?
I gave, here is a Nam who would not take it anymore. Mm. And you did.
Has it gone up on Twitter?
I don't know.
Fuck it. One man army.
Great. Which means we're doing First Blood and...
Sorry, one man, full stop, army.
That's why I wouldn't let you do it, because it works better written. Anyway.
Rambo First Blood, a.k.a. First Blood, versus Rambo Part 2.
Rambo 1 and 2.
No, Rambo colon First Blood Part 2.
Rambo colon, yes.
You know what we're doing. We're doing the original Rambo with the sequel. So it's going to be a fun show next week. Rambo First Blood versus Rambo First Blood Part 2. And that is us out. You have a lovely weekend. We'll be back on Monday talking First Blood. Until then, bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.